Now, Forever Boy is a candid journey through the beauty and battles of having a child with autism. The author and our first guest today blends wit and wisdom in an unapologetic account of marriage, motherhood and unconditional love. To tell us about the book Forever Boy, a mother's memoir of autism and finding joy, welcome Kate Svensson.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, I have to say, first of all, your son Cooper is the cutest little boy. I've been looking at finding Cooper's voice and his photos. He is gorgeous.
He is. He is the cutest thing. Yeah, it gives him a lot of grace.
I'm sure it does. So this started off with the blog called Finding Cooper's Voice. Is that correct?
Yep. So before my son was diagnosed with autism, I noticed some things were happening and he wasn't meeting his milestones and I couldn't find anyone to talk to about it. So I started blogging. Oh gosh, it's been 9 years ago. And I think like two people read my posts, but it was lovely. It got my feelings out.
And then this has turned massive, hasn't it? Because Finding Cooper's Voice is actually a website now and you help others, as I'm sure you were with the book.
Yeah, so I had a bunch of posts go viral on Facebook, which we know is the key to growth in social media. And I now, between Facebook and Instagram, I have a million followers, which is a blessing and a curse. And I've created this community for moms and dads and grandparents and teachers and everyone that, you know, touches someone's life with autism to come together and celebrate and learn and cry. And it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, I'm sure it has. So on to Cooper then. From the beginning, you said you noticed he wasn't hitting his milestones. What sort of things did you notice?
So he never babbled. And I went on to have three other kids and grew up around kids as well. So I knew that, you know, babbling starts pretty early and he never made sounds that were speech-like. Even today, he's 11 and doing awesome, but still doesn't talk typically by any means. So when those speech things didn't come, right away, red flags went up. And then he also really struggled with playing, and toys didn't make sense to him, and he only wanted to watch TV and his shows. So some of those, you know, things I wasn't seeing in other children really kind of screamed at me in the beginning.
Yeah. And how old was he then?
Cooper could have been diagnosed with autism at 9 months old. That's when he found the TV. He wasn't even barely standing, but he found Barney, which is a big purple dinosaur that dances around. He found Barney on PBS and his eyes lit up and he was so happy. And that's really when I started noticing things.
Yeah. And then you obviously have concerns, so you take him to your GP, I assume. How is he then diagnosed with autism?
So that's, you know, even today with all the advances we've made, and it's such a hard, emotional, exhausting thing to diagnose, because there is no black and white with autism. And there's just, I always say there's shades of color and it's a huge spectrum. So I told my pediatrician right away, I was like, he's not talking, he's rigid, he's, you know, he cries all the time, he doesn't sleep. And I was met with, you're a first time mom, you need to calm down. He's a boy and he's a late bloomer and just wait until age three. And I knew that early intervention was key and I wanted to help him, but I was met with a lot of resistance and that's still happening today, sadly.
That's very sad. It's very sad. And when you say early intervention was key, what can they do? If it had been recognized at 9 months old, what can they do?
Well, oddly enough, we were actually, you know, looking back, we were actually doing a lot of the things, but he could have been starting in a play therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, all the places he had delays. And we did start them really early, privately. We just went ahead and did it because we were so nervous. But there were a lot of things they could have started earlier with him and kids today.
And I know you're very honest in your book, so I feel comfortable enough asking you about this. Of course he's gorgeous and of course he's your son and you love him unconditionally. But was it a bit of a shock to the system? Because everyone dreams of having this perfect family.
Oh, it was so hard. I mean, I think as any person has expectations for their life, whether it's I'm going to be the CEO of a company or I'm going to have five kids or a happy marriage, whatever it may be, we have expectations. And my husband and I are very outdoorsy people. We had all these plans to travel and fish and boat and do, you know, live our life the way we imagined we would, right? We were, this is the way it was going to be. And Cooper just turned everything upside down right away from the day he was born. And it was an emotional journey for a lot of years because we didn't know what life was going to be like after autism and no one could tell us.
Yeah. And were there, I mean, your book's great and I think your website's great, but back then you say he's 11 now. Was there anywhere you could go? Were there any websites you could look at to find advice?
It was totally different. So when I went to the bookstore or the library, all the books on autism, and it was a very small section, were like checklists of like ways to diagnose autism, really black and white, concrete things. And I would look at my boy, and as you mentioned a few times, he's so sunshiny, he's so beautiful. And I would look at him and I'm like, well, that can't be right. Like, you know, he's not this dark thing that you're describing in these textbooks. So no, there wasn't. And if I would Google it, it was scary things. It wasn't the realities in a real life with autism. It was just like snapshots of moments. So that's why I wrote the book is, you know, people need to be able to relate to this. They need to be able to learn and understand. And that's what this book is doing.
I think it's important because I think if people haven't been around either children or adults with autism, they don't know. Like you say, it's a huge spectrum. Everyone's affected differently. You know, I'm sure there are plus and minuses. There are probably things that he's absolutely brilliant at that another child isn't, but there are things that he struggles with.
And there's so many stigmas. And I recently had this kind of virally post where I was talking about people seeing Cooper in autism for the first time. People that have never been around it, don't understand it. And I heard this mom like whisper to another mom. I'm sure she was like, what's going on with that kid? You know, and the mom was like, he's autistic, you know, whispered it. And I just wrote this post where it's like, we're not ashamed. It's not a dirty word. Autism is part of him. It's woven through him. Say it with conviction and say it with don't be afraid of this diagnosis. And I really think Cooper is shattering the stigmas around it.
Yeah, that's quite ignorant, isn't it, to be like that? We should be celebrating it.
Yeah, and I mean, there are hard parts. I never want to sugarcoat the hard parts of autism. And you'll read that in the book if you grab a copy. We do have struggles. He has struggles. But I don't want him to be reduced to those struggles. I want to talk about, you know, his life, his whole entire life.
Yeah, of course. But how do you deal with the stigmas and how does he deal with it? I mean, does he go to a regular school? Do the other children understand?
So he's a fifth grader. He's going to be in middle school next year, which is a pretty big deal over here. I'm a little scared about that. growing up, going to be a teenager. But he is doing great in school. He's in a class with five other kiddos who are also on the spectrum like him. And then he goes into the general ed class. So that part is fantastic. Cooper is unapologetically himself. He's proud of who he is and lives his happiest life every day, which I think we can all learn from. It's us as the parents and us as the siblings that I always say we do a lot of that shielding of the stares and the whispers and the ignorance. But we also, like I said, celebrate him. So we share him with the world and we're navigating it day by day. And it takes a lot of bravery and he helps us, you know, do that.
Yeah. Yeah. He sounds like an amazing child. And of course, as you say, you've got the lovely teenage years to contend with soon. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
The interesting thing I read was that you said, obviously you managed through hard work, resilience and personal growth, but you came to learn that Cooper wasn't the one that needed to change. You as a family were.
Absolutely. So when you have a child diagnosed with something like autism, you're immediately thrown into this world where it's trying to help them catch up, right? Trying to make them fit in kindergarten or fit in this world. And parts of that are great, but parts of that may not work. Cooper is really unique and the world doesn't make sense to him a lot of times and they don't understand him as well. So I had this transformation when he was 7 or 8. And I was like, this is not a Cooper thing. This is a me thing. Like I need to accept that he is exactly who he's supposed to be. He's awesome. And I need to be his tour guide and help him throughout this world. And once I did that, my family did that, our friend circle did that, life got a whole lot better.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I was reading that one in 54 children in America is diagnosed with autism. I mean, America's a big place. That is a figure that shocked me a little. Do you think we're doing enough? I mean, since Cooper was born, have attitudes changed? Is there more help out there?
So I do think the needle is moving towards awareness and acceptance. I really do. I think we have a long way to go. I think parents are no longer afraid to have a conversation about autism, to share autism, but we have so far to go with, you know, services after age 18, jobs, housing, even safe transportation, so many different things. And it scares me if I think too much about it. I'll be honest about that. I try to just step into it now and again, and then just live my life day to day by sharing my boy and hoping that it touches the people it needs to touch.
Yeah. Well, I think it probably does. And you can buy the book. All our listeners can buy the book from our website. It's called Forever Boy, A Mother's Memoir of Autism and Finding Joy. It's by Kate Swenson, who we're speaking to now. And I feel that a lot of people will want to check your website and blog out, Kate. Can you just give us the address?
Yep, it's www.findingcoopersvoice.com. Facebook page and Instagram are the same, and it's a great resource if you want to learn, if you want to share, or if you're looking for a sense of community, just stop on by.
Or if you just want to see the gorgeous Cooper.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you very much for being so open and honest. Thanks for being on the show, Kate.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.